Great singing this morning, great spirit. All is vain unless the spirit of the Lord comes down.
Amen.
John chapter number 19, we're going to read just a couple of verses beginning in the 17th verse. While you turn there, I want to mention Friday night we had a great time here, fellowship. We watched the movie Overcomer. If you have not watched it, I would recommend you watch it. I've never jumped up and went to preaching during the movie, but I thought about it. I'd sit back there and I'd lean forward and I'd lean back and I'd,
I would have listened, believe me.
But the movie's put on by the same group down in Daugherty, Georgia, down there that put on the movie Fireproof and Facing the Giants, and this may be the best one yet. It's a good movie. I would recommend it. So many messages, so many thoughts. We had a great turnout. We had pizza, but we had the best-looking dessert table I think I've ever seen. And I ate too much, but it was good. You know, you think one little spoon of this and one little spoon of that till you look at your plate and it's got 10 spoons.
And then you look at it again, it's still got 10 because you went back.
Now, you're not supposed to tell that. But it was good. We had a real good turnout. We probably had about 75, 80 or more people here. And, you know, if you, you know, you say, well, I'm not a senior. It's not for just seniors. It's fellowship for our church.
Amen.
You can come if you want to come. It's open to everybody. And we did have some youth. We had some all different ages. You know, and I guess we have a day now, brother, if, you know, some of our older folks want to come and get down with the young people, they can do that too, okay? You know, what we want is what God wants.
Amen.
We need to be very sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that we're led by Him in every area. I want to share with you the thing that's been on my heart and my mind, my thoughts this week. And the title of the message is this, The Message of the Cross. Come in this morning, met a young man, looked down as I was meeting him, he had a cross around his neck. Now, I want you to think about it. If you're here and you've got a cross on you anywhere, whether it be jewelry, a ring, a chain, would you just raise your hand? I want to see how many. And there may be some of you that don't realize you have a cross. Now, everywhere I go, I have a cross because I got a wedding band on. And on my wedding band, I have a cross. My wife gave me this. And she said, you belong to me, and remember that God is watching you. You know, when we think about it, we wear the cross. Many people wear the cross as a chain. Like I said, I've got it right here on my ring. You know, we put it on jewelry. We carry it. I want to tell you something. The cross means something. Okay? It means something, and it's very significant. And there is a message of the cross. But it's not something that you just put around your neck and you wear it as a piece of jewelry. You know, I've seen gangbangers wearing a cross. But I want to tell you something. They don't know what it means. Not everybody who wears a cross knows what the cross means. Because if they knew what the cross meant, the cross would actually change them. And I believe that about anybody. And we got a cross up here. You know, we're talking about one day, maybe in the future, this wall will be somewhere else. We may have a choir room. We may have a baptismal built in the wall. But one thing I've said is I never want to lose the cross.
Amen.
We want to be able to see it. We want to be able to understand it. And understand the impact of it and what it means. Now, when you look at the cross, and you know, I would assume in this church house this morning that most everybody here is saved. But it would be a bad assumption for me to believe that everybody in this house is saved by the grace of God.
Right.
That there's nobody here that's never made the decision to accept Christ as their personal Savior. You see, I was watching one of those Christian films, and this is another one that I would recommend. I think the title of it is Do You Believe? But it was a man who was ministering, and he was carrying a cross. Most of you at one time or another have seen preachers on the street preaching, right?
Yeah.
Every now and then I see them. I just roll down the window to listen to them and what they have to say. But I'll tell you, the greatest message that I ever heard a street preacher give was simply this. It was on Barrett Parkway in front of the Chevrolet dealership, and there was a guy that was walking down the street, and he had a very, very large cross, and he was carrying that cross. He wasn't saying a word to anybody, but as he walked this way, and he would go all the way down to where the next road was, and he would turn around, and he would carry that cross back up the hill. You know, when I rode by and I saw the man carrying the cross, he didn't have to say anything. He didn't have to preach a message. I understood the message because I understood the message of the cross. Amen. You can look at it, but do you really believe in the message of the cross? I love to go to the mountains, and when you go into Pigeon Forge, I know you say, well, that's not the mountains. Well, you can see the mountains from there. Up on the hill on the right as you're coming in from Ware's Valley is a very, very large cross. You know, down below, you got people like ants. Sometimes the traffic is so thick you can't even move. But you know, one thing everybody has to do as they're setting as that intersection is they must look at the cross. Amen. And regardless of how busy they are or what they're doing, the cross is a reminder. You see, if you believe in the cross of the Christ, and we wear the jewelry. Sometimes it's gold, sometimes it's silver, and it's beautiful. But here's some things I want you to understand about the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ was jagged. It was rough. The cross of Christ was bloodstained. The cross of Christ was painful to be bore. And when you would look at the cross as they placed it upon his back after they had beaten him and he had to carry it, it was very painful and it was a burden. But he bore it because he loves us. And when we look at this cross, we see, and we see represented in this cross, we see the love of God. We see the forgiveness of God. But the cross still cries out. And when people look at it, if they look at it long enough, if you stop long enough from your busy life, and I think about the crosses that I've seen, like the one on Barrett Parkway or the one there in Pigeon Forge or the ones that I've seen, you know, there are three crosses in a field up on the road right above Cedartown, the way we go to Center, Alabama. Not knowing the roads that well, you know what I look for? When I see the crosses, Brother Billy, I know I'm on the right road. Amen. That's just the way it works for me, folks. I go down the road, and I know right over here in this field on the right, there are going to be three crosses, and I look for them, and as I pass by, it means something to me. And I want to ask you, I got some points I want to try to bring, but what does it mean to you this morning? You see, the fact is, whether you're a Christian or not, every person is going to have to deal with the cross of Christ. As I mentioned in the movie, Do You Believe?, there was a pastor pastoring a church, and there was a man giving out crosses. Just like the crosses we've got up here, and we have a gentleman who comes to celebrate recovery, and he makes these crosses, and he gives them out. And there was a man, he was giving out the crosses, and he met the pastor, and the pastor says, oh yeah, I don't need one, I'm a pastor. Wow. He said, but do you believe in the cross of Christ? The man said, like I said, I'm a pastor. He said, I didn't ask you if you was a pastor. I'm not asking you if you're a deacon. I'm not asking you if you go to church. He said, do you believe in the cross of Christ? The pastor had to go home and pray. Pastor went home, got on his face before God, and realized sometimes we think we're doing the right thing, but in fact, maybe we've lost our vision. And we need to understand that every person is going to have to deal with the cross. And I want to just give you a few thoughts that are on my heart this morning about the message of the cross. The first thing that I want you to see is that the message of the cross is a cruel message. And I say that because I want you to understand a little bit about what happened on the cross when Jesus Christ went to the cross. You see, Jesus Christ was crucified on a cross. And crucifixion was a form of punishment that was used during that time where they would generally take a person and tie them up on the cross, and a person would actually die from carbon monoxide poisoning. They would hang them on the cross, and as they hung there, they could actually inhale, but they could not exhale, and they had to press themselves, if they were tied with cords, up to be able to exhale, and it was a torturous type of punishment. It wasn't capital punishment as we know it today, which is virtually painless for the person that's experiencing it. But it was torture. You see, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died a very painful death. Because when Jesus was put on the cross, and this was the way that they treated him, and sometimes as Christians were persecuted, when you read and study in history when people were persecuted and when they were taken and placed on the cross, most were tied, but they nailed Jesus to the cross. They drove a spike through each hand, which generally they would find the bones, and they would go into the area of the bones where the flesh would not tear. And they laid him down, and they drove the spike through both of his wrists or his hands, and they drove a spike through his feet, one on top of the other, and they nailed him to the cross, which if you go back to Genesis chapter 3, it gives a picture of Jesus Christ crushing the head of Satan. How did he do it? Because when he died on the cross, he died for our sins. Amen. Now I just about see Satan saying, "We got him. We got him now." But he went to the cross in my place. And when he hung there, he was in a fleshly body. Scripture says he became flesh and dwelt among us. You know what that means? He felt the pain. He felt the pain and the suffering that in reality was for someone else. It wasn't even for him. When those three crosses were placed there upon Golgotha's hill, they were placed there for three criminals. And the worst of them, whose name was Barabbas, the people chose him over Jesus, just like the people today are choosing the world over Jesus. And Jesus didn't go just in the place of Barabbas. He went in my place and your place. You see, it was cruel. And today we wouldn't tolerate it. But he suffered. When I think about the cross, not only is it a cruel message, but it is a condemning message. You see, when I look at the cross, and this is where some people, they pass over and they don't understand, the cross for me is a reminder of our condemnation. It reminds me of our sin. You see, Barabbas was going to go to the cross for sedition and murder. That's robbery and murder. People had died. When I look at the cross and it reminds me of my sin, it reminds me also that I'm guilty. Remember that crucifixion was a penalty for the guilty. It was a death sentence where the passers-by would look upon those hanging on the cross with disdain. They would look at them, and often the words would be said, "They got what they deserved." They're hanging there because they're guilty. If you consider what they've done, I'm not surprised that they ended up on the cross. You know, you take those words and you apply them today. Don't we have people today that are guilty? Don't we have people today that when we see them in trouble, we say we're not surprised at where they ended? But let's remember this message when you look at it. Why do people not want to look at the cross? Why do people not want the Word of God? It's because it is a reminder that we are sinners. And there must be a payment for our sin. So some refuse simply to look at the cross. You see, it's a condemning message because crucifixion was a curse. If you go to the New Testament in Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 13, it says this. It says, Christ hath redeemed us from the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. If you go to the Old Testament, you can find where it is written, It's in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse number 22 to 23. It says, "And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance." You see, he bore our sin, but Jesus also bore our curse. Why am I going to heaven? It's not because I'm good. It's not because I haven't done what somebody else has done. It's not because my daddy was a preacher. It's not because I come to church. It's not because I give to the church. It's because I have believed in the message of the cross. And I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. See, what happens when Jesus was on the cross is he hung there because, remember, he was holy. He lived on this earth, the Bible says, and I believe, without sin. But when he was on the cross, every sin that I have ever committed, past, present, and future, every sin that you have, every sin of the whole world, was placed upon him. If you study what happened to Jesus Christ, we would be amazed that he even made it to the cross. But he went all the way to fulfill his Father's will so that you and I might have life. You know, we wear crosses, we look at crosses, but never pass a cross without understanding the weight of the message of the cross. You see, yes, it is cruel, yes, it is condemning, but I want to give you some great things. It's a converting message. What do you mean? Folks, I don't have to live in my sin. I don't have to pay the eternal penalty for my sin. Amen. Because Jesus took my place. Yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says this. Says, "For he, God the Father, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin." Jesus knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, we traded places. He went to the cross for me, as bad as I am, so that God the Father could look at me and see me like he sees Jesus Christ, his Son. Now, folks, that's amazing to me. That means when I stand before God, if I've been saved by the grace of God, I'm not going to be judged simply for all the things that I've done bad, and I've done them. You've done them. None of us would want our sins displayed up here on this screen, and I'm talking about the best of you. But thank God when we stand before God the Father, the blood is going to be applied, and when God looks at me, he's going to see me through the veil of Jesus Christ. Why? Colossians chapter 2, verse 4 says this, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross." I want you to look at this cross for just a minute. I want you to just imagine if every wrong thing you've ever done was nailed right here. Even if it were on a quarter inch by quarter inch piece of paper, the sins of the people in this church would cover that cross to where you would not even be able to see the wood. And when my sin is mentioned by the devil and he wants to condemn you and he wants to tell you you're no good and you can't go to church and you can't serve God, all you got to do is point to that cross. And you can say, when Jesus went to the cross, every sin that I ever committed was nailed to that cross. And God accepted that sacrifice. Starts off strong. Here's where it gets good. This is a comforting message. You know why? Because this cross is a reminder. Every time I see a cross, it's a reminder that God loves me. It's a reminder that I am forgiven. It's a reminder that there is mercy. What is mercy? It's not getting what you do deserve and getting what you do not deserve. Mercy. It's receiving grace. You know, sometimes the problem we have, and I'll say this even as Christians, is, folks, God is so full of grace. And he wants to pour it out on you. And sometimes people can offend us and they can hurt us and they can do us so wrong. And this was a great example of this in this movie we watched Friday night, where a young lady for 15 years thought that her daddy was dead and was told that, but he was a drug addict and run off and left her. But at the latter years of his life, on his deathbed, she met him. God had saved him. And you know, I love to see what God can do. And can I tell you this morning? I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what kind of problem. I don't know who's hurt you. But I believe with all my heart, whatever betrayal, whatever trouble, if you allow God to do the work that only God can do, the forgiveness, the grace, the mercy that was paid for on the cross, it's enough. And let me tell you something. It's enough to heal your marriage. Yeah. It's enough to save your children. It's enough to restore broken relationships. Yeah. It's enough to help that one that is hurting. Brother, it's enough to save people if they'll just cry out to God.
Amen.
That's a comforting message for me. You see, because all was completed at the cross. Here, sometimes people say this, and I've had them say this to me in trying to minister to people. They say, you don't know what I've done. You don't know how bad I've been. It's almost like, I just don't think that what God did for you, he'll do for me because of what I've done. Don't question God like that.
Right.
Everything you've ever done was paid for on the cross. Every bad decision, every bad word, every bad action. I've had people tell me this. They say, if you knew what I'd done, you wouldn't even talk to me. Let me tell you something. God knows what you've done and what you're going to do, and he still loves you.
Amen.
You say, well, there needs to be a little something special. No, there doesn't. It's enough. You know why? The Bible says in John chapter 19, verse 30, when Jesus was on the cross and he was hanging there, he said these words. He said, Tetelestai. You know what that means? It is finished. That means that there's nothing else that needs to be done so that you might be forgiven, so that you might find grace, so that you might have life. Everything you've ever done, God loves you. And let me tell you who God uses. He uses the worst of the worst. He used Moses, a murderer. He buried the Egyptian in the sand and run off and hid from God. He used Abraham. Oh, Abraham's, isn't he deity? Nope. He's just like you and me.
Yes.
How do you know? Because he was a liar.
Because
he was afraid. Because he didn't really trust God when he needed to. Grace. But you know what the Bible said about him? It said he was a friend of God. And it was accounted, it was credited to his account, righteousness, simply because he believed God.
Yeah. Amen.
You see, the truth is, no matter what you've done, God doesn't need to do anything else. He's already done it all.
That's right.
All you have to do to receive it is open your heart and say, God, I need you. But here's where people don't want to get to. Get to the point that everything else is put aside to where you just have Jesus. You see, when you get to the point that you've got him and him only, and he's your only hope, you can cry out to him. But God doesn't want you to be in that shape. He just wants him to be first in your life. Tetelestai means it is finished. That means there's nothing else that needs to be done. We do not have to work for it. We do not have to repay it. We cannot. It was done for us. All we have to do is believe. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You know, when I see the cross and when I think about the cross, if you just meditate on the cross, this is also the message of the cross. It's a calling message. John chapter 12 and verse number 32, Jesus said these words, and this was before the crucifixion. He said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to me. You know, when we're in the house of God, whether it be singing or preaching, the singers don't have the ability to reach out and touch somebody's heart and draw them to the altar. The preacher doesn't have the ability to do that. I'm just a man, and I'm very limited. But you know what the Holy Spirit does? It reaches out.
Yes.
And it gets a hold of people's hearts, and it lets people know that he's talking to you this morning. Those words are for you. There's something you need in your life. God loves you. God wants to show grace to you. God wants to forgive you. God wants to help you. God wants to restore your home, your life, your circumstances. You see, it calls you to repentance. How can we stand before the cross of Christ and it not bring us to our knees? You say, why do people turn away from the cross of Christ? Sometimes it's for this. If I accept, if I believe in the cross of Christ, then I must acknowledge my own sin. Well, the cross, if we really consider it, it makes our sin very, very visible. But all God wants to do is put your sin on the cross. If I accept and believe the cross of Christ, then I must bow before it. And I'll say that that's true. In Luke chapter 23, verse 39, the story is there. When Jesus was on the cross, there were two thieves, one on one side, one on the other. And here's where people are at today. You know, one of those thieves, he looked at Jesus and he mocked him. And he said, if you be the Son of God, then cast yourself down and us as well. Just like people today. They say, if God's God, basically, why isn't God doing what I want him to do? Why did God let this happen in my life, and why isn't God doing this, and why isn't God doing that? I'll tell you why. Because you're not God, he is, and you're not the boss, he is.
Amen. Come on. Amen. Yes, amen.
The other thief, he looked at Jesus, and he said, Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. Folks, life is passing by. It goes by so quick. Kids are growing up. Even grandkids are growing up. Some of you in here raising your great-grandchildren. God bless you. Passing by. The scripture said that Jesus looked back at that thief and they said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. I looked at the board of how many people since I've come to the church have gone to be with the Lord. How many people, and we don't know, will be on that board next year? Maybe me. But you know where I'm going to be when I die?
Amen.
I'm going to be with him in paradise.
Yes.
Now the question, if it's a calling message and you got to make a decision at some point, it calls you to action. Not only should the cross bring you to your knees, it should bring you to your feet. Matthew 16:24 said, Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I was talking to a young man yesterday who is a youth minister and he works full time and he was busy. He said, I'm busy, busy, busy. He said, but I'm going to keep being busy, busy, busy. I'm going to work, take care of my family, but I am not going to stop doing the things of God, serving God, working for God. You know why? Because I believe in the message of the cross.
Amen.
We should have a desire to carry the cross, to share the cross, to let others know that they too can be forgiven. Now that means something. Concluding questions as they get ready, and we're going to have our youth come back and they're going to do a song for us. Question for you is, do you believe in the cross of Christ? Do you believe in the message of the cross of Christ? If there are three crosses on a hill and they were there for three that were condemned, and the one in the middle, Christ, took my place, your place, the place of the whole world. The one on one side said, I am not going to believe. Let me tell you something. That man will not be in heaven.
No. No.
People need to get a hold of this fact. Not everybody is going to heaven. Now, here's what I want you to also see. There was a man on the other side. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, here's what some people want to say. Well, you get saved, and you got to be baptized, and we got these written down words that have to be said over you. And you got to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to do this. What if you don't have time to do that? Let me tell you something. All you need is the grace of God poured out on you.
Amen.
That's it.
Yes.
He was on a cross, Brother Tom. And he died on that cross for sin that he had committed. But he went to heaven. You know, some people are like Jonah. They got a problem with that. Let me tell you something. If it weren't for the grace of God, you would not go to heaven. Because you can't go in yourself. And if we understand that, and we understand what the Bible says about sin, that if you've committed one sin, you're guilty of them all. Let me tell you something. When somebody comes to this altar, I don't care if they come down here with black garments on. When they stand up before God, they're white. Sins are far as the east is from the west, cast behind his back into the sea of forgetfulness, forgiven because of what happened on the cross. I ask you to rise to your feet. If God has spoke to you and you want to pray, you please come. Nobody will force you to do anything, but God loves you. God cares for you more than I could possibly tell you. Do you believe in the message of the cross of Christ? Go ahead.
Thank you. We appreciate your church. I'm really glad to see these young people working for the Lord the way they are. Amen. Excited about it. I want to tell you good news. We had 3 saved at the jail this past week, right? Amen. We praise the Lord for that. God is still doing things. Celebrate recovery here tomorrow night. It starts at 6 o'clock. We'll have food, and about 10 to 7, we'll have a service. And I wasn't able to come this past week. I had that busy week, but I do intend, Lord willing, try to be here tomorrow night. So if you can, come be with us. It's a little different service, but it may be a service where, you know, it's amazing. Sometimes people, it's almost like, I don't want anybody to know I got trouble. Let me tell you, everybody's got trouble. Everybody's got a hurt, habit, or hang-up of some time. You may be fine. You may be serving God, but you might have a child, a grandchild, a family member. Let me tell you something. And I tell you what we want to do. We don't want it to be something where you're worried about it and it's a secret. We want to help you.
Amen.
We want to love one another and we want to care for one another. And I'll be real spiritual till we start dealing with these Pharisees. And then I have to pray. Where would we be without the grace of God? Where would a Pharisee be without the grace of God? Celebrate recovery is to help you with any hurt, habit, or hang-up that you have. And if you can come, please come. If you know somebody that needs to be here, they're welcome here. We are having Awana tonight at 5:30, Bible study at 6 o'clock. Let's come and be a part of that if you can. We will have Bible study Wednesday night, and we will have a youth service here Wednesday night. I guess we'll meet out here Wednesday night. A lot of things coming up. D-Now is coming up. Children of the Promise be here February 23rd. We're looking forward to that. We've got the Diplomats coming in July. Wilburn and Wilburn, homecoming May the 31st. They're going to be here with us. And we were able this week, next year, Lord willing, we're going to change a little bit with our Thanksgiving praise service. We've been having it on Tuesday night, and the problem with that is everybody doesn't get the advantage of the blessing that we get. So we want to have Thanksgiving praise service this year on Sunday morning before Thanksgiving, and we're going to have the Jordan Family Band here with us. They've already said they would come back, and we're looking forward to that. And I'm being real conscious. God is moving. God is doing a lot of things.